You are listening to Art Speak Radio. I'm Blair Shulman. My co-host Maria Vasquez-Boyd is on assignment in Kiev, Ukraine. And tonight, my guest is Jorge Garcia Almodovar. Jorge attended Pratt Institute in Brooklyn, New York, and also studied at School of Visual Arts in New York City, as did I, yay, SVA. He currently lives in Kansas City, Missouri, where he received the 2008 Charlotte Street Visual Art Award, and his work has been exhibited in various galleries throughout the Kansas City area. His latest show in Block will open March 6th at the UMKC Gallery of Art. Jorge, welcome to Art Speak Radio.
Thanks for having me, Blair.
Great. Well, tell us a little bit about your work.
I mainly work within a minimalist type of setting, mm-hmm. and my work often involves multiple units that are heavily influenced by the space in which they're installed.
You know, I read that. What are some of the things you look for in an environment? When you approach a space and you walk in, what starts going through your mind?
I first start out with an idea, and it usually lives in my sketchbook for a while. And sometimes when I walk into a space where I know I'm going to install, past works often come to mind, maybe ideas that I have laid out beforehand, and I kind of feel around and see what I think would work best. And that's exactly what happened with this exhibit.
Sure. So you're sitting in your studio and you're drawing and you're thinking about things, and you have this idea. Do you try to kind of shoehorn it, make it fit, or do you just allow the environment to take over and then the work starts to change and evolve a little bit, or is it kind of a meeting of the two in the middle, sort of?
I think it's a meeting in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I could say that about this work because it's something that that came to mind when I first visited this space. I first started out with bigger ideas for the show. Mm-hmm. And when I walked into the space, I realized that I was going to be changing things up a bit. And so it helped me simplify the type of work that's...
Well, let's tell our listeners, what kind of materials are you using in your work? Because you're not using painting. Is it acrylics? What is it exactly?
Acrylic plastic and different colors.
And how is it formed and shaped?
It's cut down to size and mm-hmm. assembled at the studio.
So this is not two-dimensional work, is it?
No, it's three-dimensional. I often call them wall sculptures, but wall slats are often.
How often have you been using materials like this?
Oh, I've been using acrylics and plastics since the late 90s.
Uh-huh. Why is it that you like working with them so much as opposed to other mediums?
I like the simplicity. I like to keep the material simple mm-hmm. and in its rawest form.
Is it easy to work with? It seems, because when you look at it in the space and it's so durable and heavy and looks like it could possibly even hurt you at some point. Is it hard to manipulate and to maneuver? I mean, you're probably experienced with it, but is it that so?
It requires some practice.
Mm-hmm. My
methodology and just working in a very minimalist sense and trying to keep the materials clean and smooth.
What is it about the cleanliness and the smoothness of these materials that you like or enjoy? What do you get from that when you're working in that medium? Because I know some artists, especially painters or sculptors, they love getting really super messy and covered in paint and all covered in clay and whatnot. How about yourself when you're working in these acrylics? You don't really get covered up in it, do you?
No, I don't get covered up in it, but I enjoy using the smooth materials and being able to incorporate a contrast between the translucency of the materials and the opaqueness of mm-hmm. Whatever materials I'm adding to it.
Now, you've worked in other environments, too. You don't only work in a gallery environment. You've worked in other outdoor settings as well. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Tell us about that a little bit.
I was commissioned to do a work, an outdoor sculpture in Lee's Summit mm-hmm. in 2010. And that piece was a steel structure that stands in a mall.
Okay.
And it.
How big is it?
It's about 20 feet tall.
So do you fabricate this in your studio and bring it out there, or do you work on site? How does something like that work? Because I think a lot of people don't know what really goes behind a piece of work. A lot of people have the experience of going into a gallery or seeing something, seeing the installation already presented, and they don't really know what goes behind it and how much is involved.
Well, for this specific project, I teamed up with a local architectural firm that was involved in the outdoor installation and most of the fabrication, steel fabrication of the work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an aspect of art and projects that I enjoy the most is working with other teams.
You know, let me. Who is the architectural firm that you worked with?
Eldorado.
Okay, they're a great firm. Let me ask you, what is the usual reaction you hear from people when they're experiencing your work for the first time? Especially when you go to an outdoor installation like that, do you go for the wow factor? What is the reaction you're hoping for when people view it for the first time or experience it?
Well, I'm hoping that they'll interact with it and that it'll spark an experience. And for the piece out in Lee's Summit, it was designed specifically for the roundabout in the outdoor mall. And so for that piece, I was hoping that it would tie into the outdoor street and how people drove around it.
So you were kind of recreating the environment for everybody, and they had no they were kind of forced to interact with it in some way, even if it was subliminally.
Yeah.
Do you plan that, or is that something that you did on your own, or do you work with the architectural firm on doing that, or was it predetermined that I want the people who are going to be interacting with it to kind of exist with it without knowing that they're existing with it? You don't want to kind of hit them over the head with it. You want it to be a little more subliminal.
No, I started out with the idea, and it's something that I pushed for when working with the architect.
Now bringing it back indoors, when you're working in a gallery environment, what kind of reaction are you expecting from people when they're looking at it? Because it's a little bit more controlled than being outside, would you think?
Yes, it's a little bit more intimate, and I enjoy it a lot more because it really presents a lot of challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part of the process that really intrigues me is once I get into making the work, how installing it just becomes a whole new area in which I have to.
What are some of the challenges that you face when you have to work in a confined setting like a gallery? I mean, tell us about that.
For a large-scale piece, not being able to view it from afar, I think you encounter it in a very close-up fashion. So it really there's some last-minute changes that need to happen in order for it to spark that experience that I'm after.
So working in outdoor environments, they're 20 feet high. And how big are, for this N Block show at UMKC, how big are the pieces that you're working with now?
The main piece is about almost 40 feet wide.
Really?
Yeah. And the thing with this piece is when you encounter it, you have no choice but to engage with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to think of it as a very rhythmic, scattered feel when you're looking at this work.
Scattered? What do you mean by scattered? Can you elaborate on that a little? That's an interesting comment.
You know, it's probably a description I've never used for my work before, but for this specific installation, I feel like you don't have a choice but to engage with it in portions because it's so large and it basically just spreads out compositionally.
You know, what about the shapes and the math behind it? Because I've been to your studio, and everything is really precise, and it has to be precise, especially when you're doing an outdoor installation, but also for this particular show, the spaces are cut precisely, and everything is even. I mean, there's got to be a lot of math or algebra or something that I don't understand involved in this. Is that right?
There is some, yes.
So you're good at math? Is that what you're?
No.
So well, then
I'm
how do
terrible.
You? Know, well, then
terrible.
How do you know to get it right? I mean, because you have to, and it has to be right, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So how do you know?
I mean, I have to allow for some changes, but mm-hmm. I often design my work on the computer through a CAD program, and that's basically the second step once I start out in the sketchbook.
How do you hope to engage the audience beyond their initial reactions? Like, I want to know, how deeply do you want them to delve into the space? They walk in and they look at it and they walk around, but then, you know, at a lot of gallery openings, people kind of go into their little cliques and groups and mm-hmm. start chatting with each other. How do you want them to continue interacting with it? What are you hoping for them to appreciate from being with the work and interacting with it?
Well, first, I start out by just allowing the work to speak for itself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't start out thinking that I want to, engage the viewer in such in one way or another, but I just want to make things so that the viewer has the opportunity to engage with it on their own terms mm-hmm. and on the terms of the artwork itself.
Do you think people react differently when they're alone with it as opposed to when they're in a group? I think when people go into an opening, there's dozens and dozens of people at the opening, and they often, not everybody goes to the opening to even look at the work. They go for the, you know, the free one or just see their friends or whatever. But so there's a different combination of reactions when they're alone by themselves and they can really contemplate as opposed to being with larger groups of people. So what do you think that, how do you think people's reactions are? How different are they when they are by themselves and when they're with a group?
It is a huge factor. I think that to be able to appreciate my work, you need to be able to slow down and mm-hmm. really look at it, interact with it. Because there is so much going on sometimes, even though I try to simplify the vocabulary in the work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I encourage, is for one to approach it and just stick with it for a little while.
Sure. Is there a certain kind of philosophy that you adhere to when you're making this work? I mean, what are you really thinking about when you're trying to put this together? I mean, there's the combination of, I have this idea in my sketchbook, and then I go to my CAD, and then I have to decide on the space, and then I have to consider the reaction of the people who are going to exist with it, and all that. How do all of those thoughts and ideas process itself into the final thing that exists?
Keeping it simple.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that you can say so much with very little,
mm-hmm.
and that's something that I always aim for.
Do you work in? I know you like to systematically strip away some the non-essential elements. Have you embellished pieces and done other things to it to kind of and enhance it beyond its original shape and color and form?
Sometimes I enjoy using interactive materials and incorporating that into the work, but I often try to keep the materials in their rawest form.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, we're going to take a quick musical interlude, and we'll be right back.
Heaven sends a song through its doors, just as if it seems to know I'm exclusively yours. Mm-hmm. Knowing this, I feel but one way. You will understand it too, in these words that I say. I'll close my eyes to everyone but you, and when I do, I'll see you standing there.
We're back. from that brief break, and that was Miss Dinah Washington with a cut off the soundtrack of Lee Daniels' The Butler, which is a pretty fantastic movie. You're listening to Art Speak Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Blair Shulman, and my guest tonight is Jorge Garcia Almodovar. I love saying your name like that, Jorge Garcia Almodovar. Is your work, we're talking about his latest work that and block, which is going to be at the UMKC Gallery of Art, and Jorge, you work in outdoor spaces as well as indoor spaces. Is the work that's meant for large spaces like outdoor installations, are they equally understood inside a gallery setting or even a private home where people would take where people might purchase some of your work? Is it a different mindset? I mean, do you think people get the same reaction when they're looking at large pieces and small and smaller installations?
They are very different. When it comes to my outdoor work, there is very little change that happens in the process. Mm-hmm. I start out with the idea, and that's the idea that I pitch. And mm-hmm. once I receive a commission, then I have to stay as close to that idea as possible. Mm-hmm. When it comes to an indoor setting, such as a gallery, that affects the process of making the work.
And you have a lot more flexibility in a gallery setting. Yeah. And do you often work with the curator or the gallery, or the person running the gallery to kind of decide how things are going to be laid out, or do they give you kind of a free rein to
it
do?
It just depends. Depends on the curator.
Here's a big question, is lighting. How crucial is lighting in exhibiting work like your own?
It is crucial.
How so?
Especially for this work.
Tell us how
so. It's so large. The use of the translucent and transparent materials just encourages the lighting to cast colors around the piece. So mm-hmm. Keeping that in mind, there is some considerable time spent in making sure that the lighting's just right.
And do you spend as much? Yeah, I was going to ask you. Do you spend as much time on the lighting as you do installing the work itself? I mean, what? It's not always conducive for people to walk into a gallery where it's glaring bright or it's totally dim in there. I mean, you want people to have a certain experience with the work, so I would assume that the lighting really plays as much a part as the work itself.
It depends on the piece, I think. For this show specifically, the process itself and installing the work, I start to think about how it should be lit, because I start out with an idea of how the pattern mm-hmm. of the piece is going to work, and that may change along the way. And I think the idea of how I'm going to light it changes along the way as well, because
sure.
I just have to consider how it's going to affect the piece, however it lays out.
You know, from the moment that you're in your studio playing around in your sketchbook and thinking about things, what are some of your inspirations? Who are some of your heroes? What are you thinking about when you're starting to make this work? What's going through your head? Because it is pretty spare, and I guess you have to think about a lot of things before you pare it down to something as minimal as this.
You know, I enjoy a lot of artists, either local or international.
Mm-hmm.
Olafur Eliasson.
Sure.
I enjoy the experiential aspects of his work, and mm-hmm. Robert Irwin.
Yeah, and I would think a lot of people probably compare your work to Donald Judd as well.
Yeah.
Too, just because of the colors and the acrylics and things like that. So when you're sitting, so what is it that are you thinking about when you are just hanging out in your studio and just starting to make things happen? How does the idea just start? I mean, it doesn't just pop out of nowhere, or does it?
You know, I don't feel like I'm very creative at the studio. I find that I'm most creative when I'm outdoors, maybe at a coffee shop,
mm-hmm.
Sketching.
Why is that, do you think?
I'm not sure. I feel like it's a more freeing environment for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't enjoy being closed up in a room and making myself be creative. I think just hanging out and just kind of reading
mm-hmm.
or thumbing through a magazine
sure.
just will spark an inspiration here and there.
What are some of the things that you observe when you're outside just kind of thinking about things. What really sticks in your brain that you really want to indulge and maybe perpetuate a little bit more with your ideas? What are you thinking? What if you're in a coffee shop or if you're taking a walk in the woods or riding your bike or something? What are some of the things that really kind of stick out for you?
I'm not sure if I can pinpoint it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something that happens while I'm sitting there or mm-hmm. or driving. I could be driving somewhere. And you do a lot of driving in Kansas City.
Yeah, well, we all do. And yeah, so when you have that aha moment, do you tend to hold on to it? Can you remember it in an hour or even in 5 minutes when you have a chance to pull over, or do you kind of have to stop right then and there and jot it down before it kind of falls out of your brain?
No, I'll think about it and mm-hmm. and jot it down later.
Yeah. How long have you been working on this show? How long was it?
For this show specifically, I would say about 6 months, but I've known about the show for over a year now. And like I mentioned earlier, I started out with really big ideas, a lot more
mm-hmm.
Pieces that were involved in the making. And when I walked into the space, I knew right away that it just it had to be simplified.
You had to really pare it down. And why is that? I mean, what kind of, for people who aren't familiar, and I'm encouraging people to go check out this show when it does open, what kind of space is it? Is it a typical, I don't want to say typical, is it the standard white gallery cube space? Is it a large white space, or are there a lot of nooks and crannies and other there? What kind of space is it? Tell us about that.
There are two gallery rooms, and with one large room as you walk in.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I encountered was this really long, 40-foot long wall. Mm-hmm. And that made me think right away that, you know, the piece had to be the main focus in mm-hmm. that room. And that kind of shaped my thinking as far as, well, how many other pieces can I fit in this show comfortably?
Mm-hmm. And what about, we talked about feeling and thinking and seeing, but what about hearing? What kind of sounds are you thinking about when you're making the show? Because I think I'm looking at the piece on the website and on your website, which you'll tell us about in a minute. I think of sound waves and things like that. It kind of has this electric thing. I can't really decipher it, but that's what I'm thinking of.
I'm glad you said that.
Well, tell us.
I listen to a lot of music.
What do you like to listen to? I think that's really important to the process.
Just a little bit of everything, but mm-hmm. A lot of instrumental, a lot of post-rock
mm-hmm.
music, and but pretty much anything that will interest me at the time.
So to add to that, so when you are scaling everything down and when you are installing the work, are there sounds going through your head? Are you thinking about how you want people to listen to this work?
No, I consider my work to be more like a musical composition. I mean, the way that I shape it or the way that it forms itself, it's almost like an improvisation. I'm walking into a room and
mm-hmm.
and I'm working with the medium and just letting the medium just take its own course, but it builds up like a composition.
Yeah, I see it, and I know that when I was visiting your studio, we were talking about you were talking about how you were putting things up and down and all of that, and where how you were going to install it, and it really started putting things into my head, because in my own writing, I think about music. I kind of relate a lot of artwork to songs. I feel like music and art go together. They just kind of complement each other. So I kind of think about things in my head about that. So it sounds really exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing it. So your show is En Bloc, and it is at the UMKC Gallery of Art, and that is at 5100 Rock Hill Road. And tell us when that opens.
March 6th.
That's Friday?
It's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday night.
Thursday from 5 to 7.
Okay, good. And if people want more information, they can go to UMKC Gallery at umkc.edu. And if people want to find out more about you and see more of your work, what's your web address?
Garcia-Almodovar.com.
That's great. Jorge Garcia Almodovar, thank you so much for being on Art Speak Radio. I'm going to wrap things up, and I want to thank you, Jorge, as well as Mark Manning, Groovy Grant, for engineering tonight's show. And, of course, thank you to our listeners. Next week, March 5th, Maria will be back in the studio, and she will have writer, poet, musician Diego Chi will join us. Stay tuned next for From Art to Microchip, followed by LA Theater Works at 7 p.m., Chamber Music with Dr. Mike at 9 p.m., and Video with Val at 11 p.m. Thanks for listening.